largely a passing irritation. And bleeding canker may also prove to be a health scare rather than a death sentence. Faking its own death seems just the sort of trick that might engage the horse chestnut. But we probably shouldn't take anything for granted.
The Meaning of Trees, the Horse Chestnut Tree, was presented by Professor Fiona Stafford and produced by Turan Ali, and it was a Bona production for BBC Radio 3. Well, tomorrow night she continues a tree that's long been associated with memorials, not just in this country. They've also inspired many artists, not least Van Gogh, and they're pretty remarkable for the fact they can be interbred. And one of those pretty unlikely cross-pollinations gave rise to the notorious Leyland variety. It's the cypress, and you can hear about the reasons behind its symbolism in The Meaning of Trees at 10:45 tomorrow evening. And many of the past editions of the essay are available to listen to now or to download if you like. All you have to do is go to the Radio 3 website.
Dispatches from around the world on BBC Radio 4.
El Salvador seems to regard women mostly as life-bearing vessels. Those who fail to live up to that role are condemned.
Gambia was corrupt, he said, and they tell of abuse and exploitation. There were bullet holes in the ceiling of one of the rooms.
An hour later, we were in a sniper's killing ground in the frontline area of Al-Kalua.
Cricket was believed by the Vatican to be a part of God's purpose.
Now in its 60th year, from our own correspondent. Thursday mornings at 11 and Saturdays at 11:30 on BBC Radio 4.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in HD sound online. It's just after 11 o'clock and next tonight, Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz. All presented, as ever, by Jez Nelson.
Art Blakey, Thelonious Monk, Donald Byrd, Wayne Shorter, Larry Young, Horace Silver, Herbie Hancock. Tonight we celebrate one of jazz's greatest institutions, a record label with a peerless musical history and aesthetic. Well, Jazz on 3, of course, is about bringing you the best of today's music, and happily, Blue Note Records is still pushing back the boundaries, and tonight we have a special concert to celebrate 75 years of Blue Note, featuring some of their most exciting musicians of the moment. It's a standout gig, and we've over an hour of it coming up very soon. But let's start by dipping into that Blue Note sound. So many of the albums that got me into jazz were part of the Blue Note catalogue. I, like many, was obsessed with collecting these great works of art where the music, the photography and the design seemed as one. And certainly one of the tunes that first fully hooked me on that Blue Note sound was this, Lee Morgan and Sidewinder.
Thank you.
recorded in 1963, released in 1964. The wonderful Sidewinder by trumpet player Lee Morgan, with Joe Henderson on tenor saxophone, Billy Higgins on drums. Tonight we are celebrating 75 years of Blue Note Records, and I'm joined in the studio by another Blue Notophile. I think that might be fair to say, Kevin Legendre.
Definitely, I'll take that. Blue Notophile, I like that.
So, Kevin, that was, I think, probably the first record I obsessively had to track down. In fact, the first time I got it was actually on a compilation album. What about you? What was the music that turned you onto Blue Note first time around?
There are two tracks. The Blue Note album that I bought knowingly, after everybody said to me, this is a label that you have to check out, was indeed The Sidewinder by Lee Morgan. The Blue Note record that I bought unknowingly before that was actually Ronnie Laws's Always There.
Mm, yeah.
From the 70s, and that association between 70s jazz funk, soulful funky jazz, and Blue Note was something that I had not made at all when I was a teenager getting into jazz for the first time, coming into the music through fusion. But then when somebody said that the acoustic history of jazz, the hard bop, the soul jazz, once I'd been switched onto that, Blue Note became the go-to label, and I obsessively just grabbed everything that I could because it was a benchmark of quality, and you didn't have to ask whether the music was any good or not. You just knew it would be great.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about the legacy of Blue Note later on, and maybe touch on some of those lesser-known, perhaps underrated aspects of the label. But before that, the first part of tonight's special gig recorded at the recent London Jazz Festival, a special sextet put together to celebrate the 75th birthday of Blue Note Records. It's an all-star lineup, and we did a roll call with them backstage before the gig, and Kevin's going to help us introduce the band.
Derek Hodge
on bass,
Kendrick Scott
on drums,
Lionel Weke
on guitar, vocals and electronics. They're all leaders in their own right, and they're also linked by the fact that they've played with Terence Blanchard, so that kind of very solid rhythm section that we have in the group really is defined by a lot of time spent on the road together and in the studio with Terence Blanchard.
And in the front line?
Robert Glasper.
Great, successful artist who's built a bridge between jazz, soul and hip-hop, and worked a lot with Derek Hodge and Lionel Weke as well.
Ambrose Akinmusiri.
Trumpet, one of the most interesting signings for Blue Note in the last 2 years. Very, very distinctive sound, and a very distinctive composer as well.
Marcus Strickland.
Tenor sax, slightly the odd man out because he's not signed to Blue Note, but a great pedigree, and you'll remember him, Jez, from that wonderful gig with Jeff Tane Watts several years ago as well, which I think we recorded.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, when we spoke to the band before the gig, they were fresh off a flight and a little bit hyper, but we did manage to get a sense of what their approach to the gig would be.
The artists that they had on the label were all people that were really forward-thinking, and I think with this group of people that we have, that's what we're trying to do, pay homage to the feeling that we get from listening to music from Blue Note.
For the most part, we're going to just do our original songs, and that's how we pay homage, you know, by being who we are.
So the band in high spirits, clearly having a great time together off stage and on it too, as you'll hear in the first part of this concert. Kevin, a quick thought on what to expect.
Well, you'll hear them take on one of the great Blue Note tunes, Wayne Shorter's Witch Hunt, and they stretch it out and they take it in directions which are quite unexpected. It gets very funky in places. Listen out as well for a really sneaky little quote of Speak No Evil that they slide in, which works really nicely. And you won't be able to see what we saw at the gig, which was Kendrick Scott doing this incredible solo where he actually flipped over the snare drum in perfect time and kept on playing it. You'll hear the roar of the crowd when that happens.
I thought going into this gig that they might be playing all covers of classic Blue Note tunes, but apart from Witch Hunt, Wayne Shorter's Witch Hunt, that's not the case. They each brought their own piece to the gig.
You hear a wonderful Kendrick Scott piece called Cycling Through Reality, and then you hear some Lionel Weke music later as well. So it really gives you a good overview of where Blue Note is today.
Okay, so here they are for the first part of this concert. You might call them the modern Blue Note All-Stars. They kick off with Wayne Shorter's Witch Hunt.
What's up, everybody? This is Kendrick Scott. You're listening to Jazz on 3.
One of the headline concerts of the recent London Jazz Festival, recorded for Jazz on 3 at the Royal Festival Hall. I don't think they're actually called the Blue Note All-Stars, but we can call them that. Why not? That piece that you've just heard was called Cycling Through Reality and was written by the drummer Kendrick Scott. Also in the sextet, Derek Hodge on bass, Linal Lueke on guitar, Marcus Strickland on tenor saxophone, Ambrose Akimunsiri on trumpet, and Robert Glasper on piano and keyboards. Kevin Legendre is my guest on this programme tonight. We're celebrating 75 years of Blue Note Records. We'll go back to the second half of that concert later on, but now we're going to indulge ourselves, and Kevin and I are going to kind of dig a little back into the wonderful Blue Note catalogue. So 75 years of the label, and I guess you could say that there's a sort of standard route that you might take, a well-trodden path through the Blue Note catalogue, which includes the sort of classic artists like Thelonious Monk and Horace Silver and Lee Morgan and Art Blakey, who we are going to touch on later on, actually. But what we thought we'd do is perhaps just highlight a few of the more unusual things about the label, things that maybe haven't had the sort of wider recognition of the absolute classics. We've each been given sort of two picks, which is kind of agony, isn't it, Kevin?
That's more than hard. That's torture.
OK, well, look, let's get into the music and your first choice.
My first choice is Jackie McLean, who I think is one of the great Blue Note artists, who's possibly been a bit overshadowed, played alto sax, really, really fantastic sound, very influential. I think people like Steve Coleman have taken a lot from him. And the record that I've chosen was made in 1967, and I suppose it bridges the avant-garde and the mainstream. When you think of Blue Note, as you were saying earlier, what springs to mind first and foremost is hard bop, modern jazz, that very New York sound, that very late 50s, early 60s sound. And we don't think of Blue Note as an avant-garde label, in inverted commas. But it's really important that I think we do, if you think about the fact that they recorded Cecil Taylor, Sam Rivers, Andrew Hill, people who made very challenging music. And this record, New and Old Gospel, which features Ornette Coleman, who again was signed to Blue Note as well. We don't really think of Ornette as a Blue Note artist, but he was. I think it's a great expression of music which is going out, also being very in, very rooted in the black church. And the piece that I've chosen, Old Gospel, which features again the great Billy Higgins on drums, squaring the circle with the Lee Morgan track that we opened on, because he's doing the funky drumming on that. Just shows how all of these different schools can come together, and it's a really joyous piece of music.
On trumpet, Jackie McLean playing alto saxophone from New and Old Gospel, recorded In 1967, Kevin Legendre's first choice of one of his favourite Blue Note records. And, of course, it's in the title, and it was so much part of the music, that gospel sound in the early
days. The Preacher, Horace Silver's The Preacher, which apparently, according to Richard Haver's excellent book, Uncompromising Expression, Alfred Lion, who founded Blue Note Records, wasn't keen on. He didn't like that piece.
Right.
And Art Blakey, so the story goes, actually had to convince him that this corny tune was worth recording.
Mm. Good link into my first choice, because I'm actually going to go for something from Art Blakey. I think there's a case to be made for Art Blakey being perhaps the most important, or certainly one of the most important ever artists on the Blue Note catalogue. Well known for being the kind of king of hard bop, in a sense, and particularly well known for pieces like Moaning and So Tired and stuff. But I picked out something from an album called Orgy in Rhythm, because I just thought this was an interesting thing about the Blue Note label. When they had an artist, they really let them express themselves creatively. So they would kind of create the sort of straight ahead albums, if you like, but they'd also let them go off and do these really interesting other projects. And of course, Art Blakey, obsessed with Latin American percussion and the roots of music, African drumming. So he made a few albums which were really just percussion albums, and this was one of them. We've got the album in the studio. Here it is. Actually signed by Potato Valdez, who's on Congress on the album. But look, I mean, look
do
at that.
Do you want to start a bidding war or something?
Photograph by Francis Wolff. If you ever saw Art Blakey live, he would make these growls. And there he is, making one of those, Kevin. That's a great photo.
Well, it's also the title as well, Orgy in Rhythm.
Yeah,
it says it all. Pioneering spirit of Blue Note Records. Kevin Legendre is my guest on Jazz on 3. We're looking at just a few of the highlights of the wonderful Blue Note Records catalogue. Kevin, a leap in time now. Yeah, we're going to 2001 to an artist who I think is very, very important in Blue Note's recent history. That's the alto saxophonist Greg Osby, who we probably associate first and foremost with the M-bass movement in the 80s. But I think his Blue Note work, which is very substantial, he recorded 15 albums between 1991 and 2003 or four. It's really important because he basically evolved as an artist, and he did something which we don't think about enough. You're talking about Art Blakey being this father figure. He also was a mentor to one of the significant artists on Blue Note today, and that's Jason Moran. So to me, he was one of the pathfinders. He was the person who was setting the pace for Blue Note in the 90s.
And I think this album, actually, there's a link to the last album in that, again, it's someone who's been given kind of headspace and creative room, something. It's not a straight ahead record. It's a kind of concept project.
Not at all. Symbols of Light, A Solution by Greg Osby with his quartet and also a string quartet. Mm. I think is one of the great releases from, to say, this last 15-year period, which has been somewhat unjustly overlooked. And it's a jazz and strings album, but not at all as you might expect a jazz and strings album to be. It has a lot of very, very dark, edgy sounds and some great playing as well from Greg and Jason Moran in particular. We'll be right back.
piece called Repay in Kind from Greg Osby's album from 2001 on Blue Note Records with Jason Moran on piano. The album was called Symbols of Light, A Solution, chosen by Kevin Legendre. And Kevin, I mean, just say something about Blue Note during that period, because there have been good times and bad times, but this was sort of, the 90s was another really kind of a golden age for Blue Note, actually.
Yeah, I think you also have to think about how incredibly eclectic it was. So you have Greg Osby, and then you've got these brilliant singers, Cassandra Wilson, Diane Reeves, and let's not forget Bobby McFerrin.
Yes. Yeah.
And as I say, these associations that we have, oh, Bobby McFerrin, what does he represent? Oh, not a Blue Note artist, but Bobby McFerrin was a very important Blue Note artist. That just the sheer stylistic breadth, Modesky, Martin and Wood.
Yeah, John Scofield.
John Scofield, these artists who we've
done. Michel Petrucciani.
Petrucciani. They were really signing a lot of artists who were, I think, very progressive and forward-thinking.
We're going to go back now to 1965, and there's a direct link, I think, between that record, which featured the piano player Jason Moran, and this record, which features a piano player called Andrew Hill, on an album by Bobby Hutcherson called Dialogue. Now, for me, Andrew Hill and Bobby Hutcherson are two of the kind of great unsung heroes.
You mentioned Andrew Hill and Jason Moran. Andrew was one of Jason's mentors as well, certainly one of his great sources of inspiration. So you do have these historical echoes coming back again and again. And if you listen to a Greg Osby record or you listen to a Jason Moran record, you think, OK, well, how far back should we go to really understand where this comes from? Andrew Hill. And it makes a lot of sense in terms of the great stylistic continuum that you have with Blue Note.
It's been such a struggle to just pick a few Blue Notes to share with you tonight. You must have your own favourites. Do let us know. Tweet me at BBC Jazz on 3, or you can email jazzon3@bbc.co.uk.
How you guys doing? This is Marcus Strickland. You're listening to Jazz on 3.
And we'll be joining Marcus and the rest of the Modern Blue Note All-Stars Sextet for the second half of that concert from the London Jazz Festival very soon. Just a quick final dip back into the archives and some music which has a connection, I guess, to tonight's concert. What was that, Kevin?
That was Think Twice by Donald Byrd from the album Stepping Into Tomorrow, the classic Mizell Brothers production, and a great example of the way that Blue Note really fed into the history of hip-hop when all of the producers started to sample Blue Note breaks, and you heard all of this great music, not just from the 70s, but from the 60s, being dusted off and reinvented. And I think it's not pushing a point too far to say that a very, very seminal hip-hop record like A Tribe Called Quest's Electric Relaxation is a Blue Note record. If you think about the way that it's defined by that amazing breakbeat, Ronnie Foster's Mystic Brew. And also, I'm sure that you remember hearing that tagline in the 90s, you got to hear Blue Note to dig Def Jam. And that became something that was very important to us, saying, OK, the history of jazz has really, really fed into the history of hip-hop in a major way. And I think it's summed up by that breakbeat as well, which has been used by God knows how many producers.
And there's definitely a connection from that music to the band we're about to hear, because there's no doubt that these guys grew up listening to both hip-hop and Blue Note. We're going to hear another couple of pieces now and set us up for the second half of this concert.
Yeah, I think you really should listen out for the incredible work of Lionel Luecke, who is one of those trump cards, really. Somebody who is not just a master guitarist, but also a great vocalist. If you listen to what he does with these clicking techniques, these textures that he creates with his voice, the way that he can sample himself, and I think what he brings to the group in terms of extra textures and colours is really quite special.
Well, we're going to start this second set with a piece written by Lionel Lueke. It's called Freedom Beat.
Maya soya kumuya katumoya o. Ewa ya kwaya pwakmoya o. Bongwaya kondo bamba tumbo tumkeya gotumoya o. Kayam tum. Ayama sumo yongo kumuwa kumuya o. Kumuwa kumuya kumuya.
Thank you.
What's up, y'all? This is Derek Hodge. You're listening to Jazz on 3.
Thank you. Lionel Loeke on guitar. Ambrose Akimusri on trumpet. Kendrick Scott on the drums. Marcus Strickland on the saxophone. And the composer of this tune called Message of Hope, who has a record out right now entitled Live Today on Blue Note. This song is called Message of Hope. It's on the record, Live Today. That's Mr. Derek Hodge on bass. Let's give it up for the one and only Mr. Robert Glasper. So inclined, we're having an after party at the Ace Hotel in the basement. A DJ, it's going down. Ace Hotel, see y'all later. Peace.
A big moment on the closing weekend of the recent London Jazz Festival, recorded for Jazz on 3 at the Royal Festival Hall. Robert Glasper on piano and keyboards, Marcus Strickland on saxophone, Ambrose Akimusiri on trumpet, Lionel Loeke on guitar, Kendrick Scott on drums, and Derek Hodge on bass. And Derek wrote that last piece, Message of Hope, although you may have recognised at the end there that quote from Blue in Green, which, of course, Kevin Legendre did not appear on Blue Note Records.
It did not, but it has blue in the title, so I think that's good enough for us.
So I'm going to be controversial here, Kevin, but I thought I really enjoyed the concert. I thought at times the pieces just went on too long. I kind of think there's this thing that Robert Glasper does, which is he doesn't quite know when to stop. And there's a bit of a kind of hallmark of his performance when he gets to solo and he just goes on and on and on. So for me, I felt sometimes the music could have been sort of tighter.
Possibly. I think if it was a recording, that would definitely be the case. But I enjoyed the experience of listening to them and hearing them stretch out. So I don't entirely agree. I think that as a listening experience, as a live experience, it worked.
You will have got the sense over the last 90 minutes that Kevin and I love Blue Note Records. It would be good to hear your love or otherwise of the label and also your thoughts on the concert that we brought you tonight. You can email jazzon3@bbc.co.uk or you can tweet at BBC Jazz on 3. Thanks again to Kevin, also to my producer Chris Elcombe, and to all the musicians that we've heard on the programme tonight. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. From me, Jez Nelson, a very good night.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3, now stepping down as music director of a major orchestra after almost 20 years can't be easy. But the programmes David Zinman devised for his farewell concerts with the Zurich Tonhalle Orchestra were probably designed to ease the pain. Having just bade farewell in the orchestra's Zurich home in the summer of 2014, they then came over here and did something similar at the BBC Proms, and this is that prom, bringing Julia Fischer playing Dvorak's Violin Concerto and the Beethoven Pastorals.